On our Money Sense program, welcome this weekend. I'm your host, Brent Laux, and I'm joined by Matt Sisson. Matt is an associate investment advisor with the offices of PWM Private Wealth Counsel, IA Private Wealth. How's things today, Matt?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Brent?
I'm doing great, Matt. Now, I understand that today you want to help our listeners decide which is better for their own situation, money into their tax-free savings account or into their RRSP, right?
That's right, Brent. Since the TFSA was introduced in 2009, this has been one of the most common questions I've heard from clients, especially at this time of year. It's a complicated topic, but I'll try to provide some general rules to follow.
I love that. TFSA versus the RRSP. Back with Money Sense in 2 minutes. Welcome back, Money Sense. Matt Sisson, our investment advisor at PWM Private Wealth Counsel, is going to help you better understand TFSAs and RRSPs, which one might be best for you or how you put your money into one or both of those. So get us started on this, Matt.
First off, I'd like to explain how each of them work so that everyone can understand the similarities and differences before I start explaining how to choose between the two. As most people know, contributions to an RRSP are tax-deductible and the withdrawals are fully taxable. The important thing to understand is that RRSPs is not an investment in and of itself. It is simply a type of trust account that has been set up to receive your tax-deductible contributions. Once the money has been contributed, then you must buy an investment. These can generally be divided into three groups: single investment, single supplier RRSPs, multiple investment, single supplier RRSPs, multiple investment, multiple supplier RRSPs.
Okay.
So I'll just start with the single investment, single supplier RRSPs. These plans will only allow a single type of investment within each RRSP, generally a savings account, term deposit, or GIC. The advantage of these types of RRSPs is that they are simple to use. The drawback is that you have very little choice and it's difficult to transfer from one type of investment to the other. These plans are offered typically by the banks, trust companies, credit unions, and usually do not include an annual fee. The interest rates for these plans are typically advertised heavily just before the deadline for the RRSP deposits.
Okay.
Next, I'd like to talk about the multiple investment single supplier RRSP. These plans offer many different types of investments within the RRSP, including mutual funds. The catch, however, is that all the investments must be those offered by the managing bank or financial institution. The advantage of these types of RRSPs is that you can transfer from one type of investment to another without the hassle, and administration fees is usually quite low or, in some cases, eliminated.
All right.
Last, there's the multiple investment, multiple supplier RRSP. This type of plan is also known as a self-directed RRSP, and the most important thing to remember about this is that the plan holders are responsible for investing the assets. Generally, you will have the help of an investment advisor. The main advantage of this type of plan is the broad selection of eligible investments. Along with the savings account, GICs and mutual funds offered in the previous options. A self-directed RRSP can also hold stocks, bonds, currency, options, annuities, mortgages, and that's just to name a few. The only downside is a small annual administration fee per plan.
Okay, so those are the different types of RRSPs. Which one do you find you work with most often when you're dealing with people at PWM Private Wealth Counsel?
Yeah, well, in our office, we use self-directed plans almost exclusively. We feel this provides the investor with the most attractive variety of investment options, and it gives us the ability to tailor their investments to fit their unique situation.
So that's good information about RRSPs. What about tax-free savings accounts? How do they differ from my RRSP?
Yeah, well, Brent, in fact, TFSAs are eligible to invest in all the same things as an RRSP. The real difference is how they are treated for tax purposes. Well, RRSP contributions are tax deductible and the withdrawals are taxable, deposits to a TFSA are non-deductible for tax purposes. But on the other hand, you're able to withdraw your money tax-free as well. The tax benefit you receive is that the growth on the investments inside the TFSA are sheltered from tax. Other than the tax consequences, you have the same three options for the TFSAs as you do with the RSPs. Single investment, single supplier TFSAs. Multiple investment, single supplier TFSAs. And then multiple investment, multiple supplier TFSAs.
Since these TFSAs are relatively new compared to RRSPs, can you give us a quick rundown on some of the other rules that apply to them, Matt?
For sure I can. First of all, for 2021, you can contribute $6,000 to a TFSA. The program has existed since 2009, and the total contributions possible since 2009 are $75,500. This applies to all Canadians with a social insurance number over the age of 18. Income is not a requirement to create the TFSA contribution room. There's no upper age limit, and if you do make your full contribution for the year, the unused room can be carried forward and contributed in the future years. If you make a withdrawal, the amount withdrawn is added to the following year's new contribution room. This means that, unlike an RSP, you can put back what you took out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no TFSA spousal plan. Individuals can provide funds to their spouse or common law partner if they wanted to invest in their own TFSA, up to the spouse or common law partner's available room. And the income earned on the contributed amount is generally not attributed back to the spouse or partner who provided the funds.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike the RRSP, which must be converted to a retirement income vehicle at age 71, a TFSA does not have any minimum withdrawal requirement.
So, Matt, really the key difference then really is the tax treatment between these two, right?
Exactly, Brent. To determine whether TFSAs or RSPs are better for you depends primarily on your tax bracket when contributing versus when your tax bracket withdrawing in retirement. As a common part of retirement planning, and one of the main benefits of RRSPs, is the assumption that most Canadians will be at a lower income tax rate after they retire than while they are at their working career.
Mm-hmm.
This may sound logical, but in fact, when you include senior clawbacks, the total income tax rate for seniors can be over 50% for adults over 65 when in retirement.
You touched on something there. Can you explain some of these clawbacks for those of us that aren't familiar with them?
Yeah, for sure I can. The three main senior clawbacks apply to guaranteed income supplement, the age credit, and old age security. GIS, or Guaranteed Invest Income Supplement, is a supplement of up to $948.82 per month, which is $11,385 of tax-free income paid to seniors with an income under $19,248. That is, though, if you are a single or widowed retiree over 65. For every $2 of income per month, you will lose $1 per month of guaranteed income supplement.
Okay.
Next, like I said, is the age credit. The age credit is a tax credit of $7,713 that is reduced by 15% for any dollar of income above $38,508. The age credit reduces the taxes payable for any individual who turns 65 in the year. The entire tax credit is lost when your income is higher than $90,313.
Hmm.
And then maximum OAS is a taxable income of $619 per month, or $7,428 per year. That is also reduced by 15% for income above $79,845 in 2021. There are also clawbacks that apply to adults under 65, such as employment insurance and the child tax benefit, which help make a decision about whether the RSP or TFSA is really the best option.
We're taking a break. When we come back, Matt will explain which of these might be best for you, the TFSA or an RRSP. This is Money Sense. Welcome back to Money Sense. Matt Sisson is our guest today from PWM Private Wealth Council. So, as you've been listening, what's going to be best for you, a TFSA or an RRSP? What do you tell these folks, Matt?
Well, as with most financial planning decisions, it will depend on your particular circumstance. Since The real difference between the two is the tax consequences. The answer really comes down to three key factors. The use of the tax refund, your marginal tax rates when contributing versus marginal tax rates when withdrawing. And then, of course, the loss of income tested benefits now and later.
Okay, when you talk about the tax refund, I'm guessing that's the money I get back because of what I put into my RRSP. So how does that factor into my equation here?
Well, getting a tax refund is the main reason most Canadians contribute to the RRSP. How you use it is critical when deciding between the TFSA and RRSP. Essentially, you have three options. You can either spend the refund, which, of course, a lot of people like to enjoy, reinvest the refund to your RRSP, or you can gross up the tax refund.
Explain that last one. What do you mean by gross up?
Well, basically, it means investing the projected refund ahead of time. If you have $10,000 to invest at Saskatchewan's highest tax rate of 47.5%, you could borrow to make your contribution of $18,000. This would generate a refund of approximately $8,550, which would then be used to pay off the entire loan, which is $8,000 in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are numerous variables that come into play when doing these calculations, of course, so the outcome can be different for different people. In general, however, you can see the following three results. If you routinely spend your tax refund, the TFSA will be better in almost any scenario.
Mm-hmm.
If you regularly gross up your RRSPs or invest your tax refund, the two are going to be very similar. It will come down to the other factors, of course. You should then go to the marginal tax rate comparison to help you decide.
Okay, Matt, how can we use that marginal tax rate information to help me make this decision?
Well, most people assume that they will be in the lower tax bracket when they retire, since they will be making less income than while they are working. If this is true, that would make the case for the RRSP much stronger. As we've discussed, though, that may not always be the case. There'll be many variations for different circumstances, but there are a few rules of thumb to follow.
Okay.
In general, RRSPs will be better for the people in the following situations. Working incomes between $49,000 and $98,000 with no company pension plan or tax-deferred account set up. There is a high likelihood these contributions will be able to be withdrawn from the lowest income tax bracket in retirement. Another situation would be working incomes of over $95,000 annually with a company pension plan that includes some matching of contributions. The jump in income tax rates from $95,000 and over $95,000 makes it reasonable that a lower tax rate in retirement will be achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Or people in the highest tax bracket, because they will receive the most benefit from the RRSP tax deduction now. With the highest income tax bracket being 47.5% in 2021, the tax deferral is significant for high income earners personally.
Okay.
TFSAs, on the other hand, they'll be better for people with working incomes under $45,000 per year. This is because they do not realize as much benefit from the RRSP tax deduction. Another situation would be working incomes between $47,000 and $95,000 with a company pension plan that has matching contributions. The thing to remember is there are only rough generalizations, and the exact figures will be affected significantly by things such as age, retirement age, and then, of course, your desired lifestyle in retirement.
Any other considerations we need to be looking at?
Of course there are, Brent, and not all of them are financial. For example, it's much easier and more tax efficient to withdraw from a TFSA. So, if you are the type of person who may be tempted to make withdrawals, the TFSA may be the better choice. Something else to think about is the contribution limit. TFSA limits have only recently been increased to $6,000 per year, which is too low for most Canadians to maintain their existing lifestyle after they retire, although this limit is being indexed going forward. Unless your income is under $35,000, RRSPs allow you much more contribution room, which is why most people will end up using a combination of two. RSPs also tend to be a better choice when saving for emergencies. There are a few reasons for this, of course, though. Because the contributions are tax deductible, you can put more money into an RSP than a TFSA and still have the same amount left to live on. You have more money in an RSP than if you put the same after-tax money into a TFSA. If you're taking the money out for an emergency, there's a good chance that you won't be working and you'll be in a lower tax bracket. But because money in an RSP is less accessible, you are less likely to withdraw the funds for non-urgent reasons.
Okay.
Yeah, but like TFSAs, on the other hand, will be useful in situations like when you have used up all your RRSP contribution room. For short-term savings, such as vehicles, appliances, or down payments on the house. And there's many more, of course.
Okay, just about out of time. In summary, TFSA, RRSP. Matt?
In most situations, the optimal scenario is going to be a combination of TFSAs and RRSP contributions.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal goal for most people is to end up with a taxable retirement income that will maximize government benefits, utilize lower income tax brackets. This will mean you are in the lowest tax bracket, subject to as few clawbacks as possible, and enjoying a reasonable income level supplemented, theoretically, by additional non-taxable income from your TFSA. Assuming you're eligible for the maximum CPP and OAS benefits, which will combine to provide approximately $21,800 per year. Having a reasonable amount of both registered and non-registered assets provide a lot of flexibility when choosing where to withdraw from that allows you to control that income in retirement and maximize your credits and allowances while minimizing, of course, the tax payable. This is why choosing what vehicles to use when investing and in what ratios is such a complex calculation that needs to incorporate every aspect of your financial situation.
Okay, Matt, any of our listeners would like to delve deeper into TFSAs, RRSPs, financial planning with you, what do they do?
Yeah, absolutely, Brent. I know that many people aren't sure if they're using their retirement savings plan effectively, and usually the best recommendation I can make is to just give us a call at 306-975-9500 or visit our website at pwmprivatewealth.com. Our office can come up with a plan and help you.
I like the sound of it. Again, their phone number, 306-975-9500. Matt Sisson, thanks so much for your time. Have a good weekend.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving.
This is Money Sense. Money Sense was prepared by Kevin Hegedus and Kevin Hawkinson, portfolio managers for IA Private Wealth. This is not an official program of IA Private Wealth, and the opinions expressed during the show are those of the portfolio managers only and do not necessarily reflect those of IA Private Wealth. IA Private Wealth, Inc. is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. IA Private Wealth is a trademark and business name under which IA Private Wealth, Inc. operates. Please obtain independent professional advice in the context of your particular circumstances. This show is intended for general information only. You've been listening to Money Sense.